And we're back. Welcome, everyone. We are at Module 2. My name is Nick Landry. This is Jeremy Foster. And now, in Module 2, we're going to start talking about speech synthesis. And in speech synthesis, more specifically in mobile apps, we're actually going to dive in and see how can we make our phone talk. Now, it sounds like, you know what, it could be something really easy because I can do this pretty quickly. But we're going to see some more advanced scenarios also on how you can make your phone talk. So, in terms of the course topics, we are now in Module 2. We looked at Cortana earlier, and we're going to dive in a little deeper. There were a lot of questions in the chat room also about how Cortana works in other countries and things like that. We're going to cover some of that in this module as well. And in this module, we're going to be talking about speech synthesis, and then after that, Jeremy is going to talk to us about Cortana integration and voice commands. But for this module, in terms of the overview, what do we have? We'll look at, first of all, the basic speech synthesis integration. So how, in just a few lines of code, you can get the phone talking up and running. For most of you, it's probably going to be enough. But then, for those that want to push a little further, maybe want to enable some more advanced scenarios, we'll look at how you can manipulate the voice settings. We'll look at something called a speech synthesis markup language, or SSML, and how it's a W3C standard that allows us to manipulate voices even more. Then we're going to look at some things that I would call like more advanced speech synthesis scenarios, like saving audio streams to a file so that you can take your audio from the speech and then save it to a file so you can share it, playing speech audio in the background, and also maybe even some adding some sound effects or music in scenarios where that might fit. And I'll show you examples of how I feel it should fit. And then, of course, in line with what we covered in Module 1, when we were comparing Cortana with Google Now and Siri, now we're going to start comparing SDKs as well, so that people can understand. Because, of course, very often people build apps for one platform, but they also want to build it for the other platforms as well. So if you're trying to bring parity across different platforms, it's important to understand what can you do on one that you cannot on the other, and vice versa. So, without further ado, let's begin. This module is going to have some code, finally. So not just Cortana demos, we're going to see some code. So I'm a C-sharp guy, so I'm going to be focusing primarily on XAML and C-sharp demos. So in this first module here on basic speech synthesis integration, so what is speech synthesis? It's really annoying that I had to pick a topic like this because if there's one word that I really struggle to say, it's the word synthesis. I'm French Canadian, so English is not my first language. But fortunately, speech synthesis is also known as text-to-speech. And I'd rather say text-to-speech. So you'll notice that I use the words speech synthesis and text-to-speech interchangeably because they are, basically. So what does it mean? It basically means you're making the computer or your device talk. It's as simple as that. And speech synthesis relies on a speech synthesizer. And what a speech synthesizer does is it takes your text input, any kind of string that you might have, and then it converts it into an audible audio stream, basically an audible text using a computerized voice. So the voice is going to be coming from the computer. It's over the years, of course, we've been getting computer voices that are getting a little more lifelike, I would say, more human-like. Of course, there's so many scenarios you can use for this. Accessibility is the first one, definitely. When it comes to people that have disabilities that prevent them from talking, or some people that actually lose complete motor functions, like unfortunately people afflicted by ALS, a name that's very well known for this is Stephen Hawking, who's been using speech synthesizer for years. In fact, for a lot of people were asking him, why aren't you upgrading your speech synthesizer to some of the newer technologies? But the thing is, the older voice that he was using, it's become his voice. It's like asking you, like, hey, Jeremy, why don't you change your voice? You know? So, yeah, it was basically his voice because he's lost his voice such a long time ago that people now only remember the computer voice. Of course, there's the story of Steve Gleason also that's been featured on our Microsoft.com empowering site where, thanks to eye-tracking technology, a surface in speech synthesis, he's able to control a computer, he's able to talk to his son. So it's something that's very important. Then there's in education, it can also be very useful. And then it could be for communication as well. So what if you want to, have an application where you're communicating with others? It could be a chat app, but that chat app, maybe you want to be able to use voice to talk to people. So again, I have an app, actually, if you look at my website at ageofmobility.com, I have an application that I've posted called Azure Chatter. And Azure Chatter is an app that basically, it's a chat app, kind of like GroupMe or WhatsApp, and it works across different platforms. And I've integrated speech in it so that whenever somebody chats and sends a message, it actually speaks it out loud. And this is something that's cool because we saw how text message can be read back to you whenever you're driving. But I figured, let's say that you're chatting with a group of people now, and you're inside of an app. Well, you can easily integrate speech synthesis inside of your app, so this way the app can talk for you. For travel, you can immediately see how that works well. And in fact, in module 6, we have a very cool demo where we're going to pair up translation with speech. So you can create a translation app, and you'll get all the source code for this. Because when you travel, of course, you might not know the language, so you might want to use different apps to be able to either understand what people are saying or at least talk for you. And it could be for entertainment as well. And this is one of those things where a lot of people think of those fun scenarios, maybe business productivity scenarios or lifestyle, social scenarios. I see a whole new category of games that can be created entirely with speech. And in fact, there's some of my demos that enable some of the features that you might want in a completely speech-based game. So you don't need to look at the phone, you don't need to touch the phone, and it's actually quite fun. So how do you get started using speech? So it all starts with the default speech settings. It's all enabled via the windows.media.speech synthesis namespace. And this is available in both Windows Store and Windows Phone. So we should be clear that, by the way, in this module, everything that you see in this module is usable in both Windows Phone 8.1 applications and Windows Store 8.1 applications. But when it comes to modules 3 and 4, the features there are actually exclusive to Windows Phone now, but they are coming to Windows 10. So that's pretty cool. So that's why everything you're learning today is actually building up on the road to Windows 10. So everything that you learn, don't worry, it's not like it's all going to change on you. Things are just going to get better. So the speech synthesis options allow you to speak with any installed speech language. And this is a very important thing, because I see sometimes people, I have an app in the store, we'll talk about it later, where it uses basic speech synthesis to make the phone talk. And people say, like, they send me feedback, and they're like, I only get two voices. There's only, like, the male and the female voice on my phone. So what can I do? The thing is, you can actually install more languages, and we're going to look at that. We're going to look at also how you can customize the text-to-speech with the SSML, the speech synthesis markup language. And as I said, this was all introduced. Well, the speech synthesis was actually introduced in the Windows Phone 8 SDK back when it was the Windows Phone 8 Silverlight model. Now, of course, with Windows Phone 8.1, it's all based on WinRT. So for this module and all the demos today, you're going to see everything is based on a WinRT model, which is the common development model for Windows Store apps, whether they're for big Windows or for Windows Phone. And it was also introduced in the Windows Store 8.1 SDK. And in Windows Phone 8.1, there was actually a change on how we address text-to-speech. So if you've done text-to-speech before on Windows Phone 8 Silverlight, then you're used to having the speech synthesizer speak directly for you. Whereas in Windows Phone 8.1, as you'll see, what we're actually doing is the speech synthesizer is simply creating a stream, and then you're using the media player to play that stream. And that opens up so many cool scenarios. So let's talk about languages, because of course it's impossible to talk about speech without, of course, realizing that, hey, not everybody speaks English. And as I said, my first language is actually French. I'm French-Canadian from Montreal. And I'm sure there's a lot of people watching this MVA right now, either live or later on the recording, that they also speak other languages and their first language might not be English. So what capabilities are available for them? And I know a lot of people were asking also in the chat room about Cortana. And yes, it's true, Cortana today is still technically a preview to it. She's in beta, basically. So she was first introduced in the US. I think she's available in Great Britain now, also in a few other countries as well. So the rollout is coming. Cortana is going to reach out to more countries. Joe Belfiore covered also in the Windows 10 keynote how we're going to have support for even more countries. So today, if we look at the speech synthesis languages, these are pretty much all the languages that are covered for speech recognition as well. We have basically 15 languages. And by languages, we also mean sometimes variants or dialects. So for example, for English, we have the US variant, we have the Great Britain variant, and also there is the Indian variant for, basically it changes the accents. The cool thing is it doesn't only affect the text-to-speech, it also affects the speech recognition. So that later, for example, my wife is Indian, and she was using an iPhone before, and every time she would try to talk to Siri, well, she really had a hard time being understood by Siri, even though her accent is not that strong. But of course, when it came, she's now using a Windows phone, she has for a while, and Cortana works great with her. She talks to her, she asks questions, Cortana understands her well. So having these variants in the language for text-to-speech, it's also about some of the known differences in the dialect or the accent of that language in a different country. So these are all the languages that we have on Windows Phone 8.1 today. On Windows 8.1, we actually have one extra language. We have Korean that's also supported. So there's technically 16 languages on Windows. If you are curious about if your language is supported or if it's coming or things like that, there's a couple links here you can look at. For example, all the speech voices that are supported in Windows 8.1 are listed here. It will also tell you which ones have a male voice, which ones have a female voice. On Windows Phone, it's pretty much everything has male and female, so it's a cool experience. And then if you're also curious about other features of the phone, whether it's speech or non-speech related, and you want to know, is that feature on Windows Phone available in my region, in my country, in my language? There's also a link right here at aka.ms/WP8, features by region. So you can learn more about these things. So let's start looking at some code, and I'm going to look at some live code, but let's just walk through some of the basics here on how to get started with in-application speech synthesis. It's actually quite simple. It all starts, first of all, with the media element. The media element here is actually declared directly in XAML. You could declare it directly in code in C#. So you could simply create like a new media element, and you'll see some samples where I do this. And you have the option of setting the autoplay property to true. By setting the autoplay property to true, what it's going to do is as soon as you assign a source to that media element, it will automatically start playing. Otherwise, you can control if you want to play, pause, and things like that. Then this is the meat, and as you can see, it's very thin meat. It's very light. It's a light meal. It's actually quite simple to do speech synthesis. As I said, it's just a few lines of code. You first start by using a speech synthesizer, and then your speech synthesizer will then, you will call the synthesize text-to-stream async. I love method names like this. It is so clear what it does. There's no guessing. You know exactly what it's going to do. You simply pass a string that needs to be synthesized. And then what you get out of this is a stream. And then once you have your stream, you can use that stream as the source of an audio player, the audio player here being a media element. And then once because we have autoplay set to true, this will automatically start playing. And again, remember that you have to use the windows.media.speech.synthesis namespace for this. So let me go back through this. Okay, sorry for this. Okay, before you can make the phone talk or your device talk, as you know, in Windows Store apps and Windows Phone apps, you need to enable capabilities. The capabilities are basically there to inform the user before they download an application as to how much of your device, how much access do you need to give to this app inside of a device. So, for example, here all the speech SDK features have been lumped into one thing, which is the microphone capability. So it sounds a little weird that to use text-to-speech, you need a microphone because you're not the one talking. It's actually the phone talking. But it's because all the speech SDK features, whether it's text-to-speech or speech recognition, including voice command, are lumped together. And because for voice command and speech recognition, you obviously need the microphone, then that's where it ties in. There's a slight difference here is that in a Windows Phone 8.1 app, you need to request the capability on the microphone. But on the Windows Store apps, it's actually optional. So you can access the microphone in a Windows Store app without necessarily asking for that capability. Not to access the microphone, but to do text-to-speech. So in the app, the package.appx manifest, you can see it right here. The capability is device capability, microphone. And of course, internet client server is usually enabled by default. This is something that's going to be required when we want to do speech recognition, especially if we want to use the default grammars we're going to see in module 4 so that we can use the internet for this. All right, let's look at some code. So let me switch to Visual Studio right here. This this space demo is actually quite simple. It's called Hello Weather. If you're curious about the code, by the way, all the code will be made available for you. Some of it is already live already. It's all going to be in our GitHubs. So I'm at github.com/activenick, and you're at github.com/codefoster. CodeFoster. And some of your demos are already there. Hello Weather is actually there right now. My other demos, for those that are watching this MVA live, my other demos you're going to see today are not available in my GitHub just yet. I promise to get to it in the next few days, or at the very least by the time the MVA gets posted for download and for viewing later. Okay, so let me show you the scenario and how it works here. So what I'm going to do is... I'll make a confession, I cheated a little bit on this demo. Because this is a demo that it's basically a weather app. It's nothing more than Hello World, but it calls a REST service to return weather info. And then once it gets the weather info, it simply displays it on screen and it speaks it out loud. Unfortunately, the weather service I'm using is sometimes not available.
It's under the weather.
It's under the weather. So you can see all the information here. I'm using Open Weather Map Service right here. It's a great weather service. I still recommend it. It's just sometimes, for some reason, depending on your connectivity, it might not be responsive. So you can contact them for information about this. The bottom line is what I did is I kind of cheesed my demo a little bit. I commented my get weather call right here, and I just basically pre-formatted the string that I normally would be getting back, which is the weather info. Because I figured you guys want to see a working demo, and the point here is not to show you how to make REST calls and deserialize JSON data. The point is actually to show you how can you make the phone talk. So what I'm going to do here is, and you can actually change the volume. See these little buttons here? That's the volume up on the emulator. So I can actually raise the volume. So this is Hello Weather. And I can enter a city right here. For example, Seattle, Washington. Of course, in this case, it's hard-coded to Seattle because of my comment I put in. And then when I play this, so you guys heard that? Yeah? Do it once more? Okay, so let's do it one more time.
The current temperature in Seattle is 44 degrees Fahrenheit, with a high today of 60 degrees and a low of 41 degrees.
Okay, so as I said, this is hard-coded data right now, unfortunately, because the weather service, when I tested before the recording, seemed to be a little intermittent there. Intermittent, like the weather can be intermittent. So in terms of how we implemented this, it's actually quite simple. So right here, if I look at my code, you'll notice that's why I've got the comments here. But if you download this from GitHub, you actually see the full info without those comments. So normally I would call this getWeather with the location. And then if my results are not null, then I would start parsing to get the weather, the location name, and then the temperature, and then the max temperature for the day, and the low. Whereas in this case, I kind of fudged it where I hard-coded Seattle 44, 60, and 41 in here. But and then after that, I pass in 44 for the big number that was showing up on screen. The key part for reading the weather, though, is right here. It's read text weather message. So this is just a little helper that I've created. And you can basically take this snippet of code, and that's actually what I do. I've created a snippet out of it. Because you can easily take this snippet, put it inside of any application, and with read text, you simply pass a string to it, and it's self-contained, it does everything for you. You just have to remember to put using windows.media.speechsynthesis, so it's right here at the top, using Windows Media Speech Synthesis. And then, so it creates a media element for you. So if it's a media element you're going to be using a lot, you'll see some of my demos that do this. You can actually do this directly in XAML, or you can put it at the global class level. But here, I'm actually doing it inside of read text, and then I create a new speech synthesizer. And next, I can set the voice. If you don't set the voice, it will simply use the default voice on the phone. All phones have a default voice, and it's either set to male or female. I think by default, Windows phones are set to female voice. And the culture of that voice, whether it's the language, is going to vary by country. So if you're in Great Britain, it's going to be the English GB voice. If you're in France, it's going to be the French voice. Italy, Spain. Spanish actually has two variants. There's the Spanish and the Mexican versions of Spanish. So it's going to depend by the culture you've set on your phone and where you bought it. Or same thing with Windows, depending on the culture of in your settings in big Windows. Here in this case, we're actually using Link, where we're calling on the speech synthesizer. We can actually access a collection called All Voices. And All Voices returns a collection of voice information objects. And the voice information contains multiple things like the gender, the description, the language, the name of that voice, because all the voices have names. So here we're simply saying, find the first voice where the gender is female and where the description contains United States. So if you try this at home using your own setup with an emulator, the cool thing is the emulator comes preloaded with all the voices that are available. So doing text-to-speech is one good case where using the emulator works a lot better than using a physical device, because on a physical device, you're only going to have the languages that are pre-installed. And then we simply call our speech synthesize text-to-stream async. And once we have that, we simply set the source on our media player. In this case, we don't have autoplay set to true, so we simply call play, and that's it. We're done. The media player takes over. It plays it. It's asynchronous, by the way. So if you have something on the next line of code there, it's going to continue right away. So even though it doesn't say play async, the media player plays always asynchronously. So that's for the base speech synthesis demo. Let's now dig into a little more into what we can do on how we can manipulate our voice. So that was the basic speech synthesis integration. Now, we're going to look at how can we manipulate the voice settings so that if you're not happy with a default voice, or better yet, if you want to leave the users in control to choose the voice they want, well, this is where we're going to look at it. So speech synthesis works with different voices, so all 15 voices, languages on Windows Phone have both a male and a female variant. Most of the languages on Windows are actually going to be female, but a few cultures might have a male voice. Like the English US, of course, has a male voice. I think Great Britain might have one. I'm not sure. It's on that link that I gave you earlier. If you want to install a new voice on the phone, either on the phone or on Windows, you have to go to the speech settings on the phone. So you go to settings, you scroll down, you go to speech, and then you're going to see right here, you're going to have text-to-speech voice. You choose between male or female, and then you have to choose the language you want to use. That language is going to be the default language of your phone. This is where, when you click on that, you're going to see this list right here. And you're going to see all the voices you can download and the download size for them. So if you see a download size for them, it means that voice has not been installed yet. Before you try this at home right now or at work and you start installing, remember that installing a new language on Windows Phone is considered an operating system update. So it will download the voice. It will then say you have to do an update. It will reboot the phone. And then it has to go through the data migration and everything. Depending on how much data you have in your phone could be out of commission anywhere from 20 to 30, maybe even 45 minutes or an hour. I've seen it. So don't go and install a new language on your phone if you need to use your phone in the next hour, I would say. It's a safe bet. On Windows 8.1, it's the same thing. You can go to language settings, add a language, and you have to download what's called a language pack. The language pack allows you to change the default culture of the UI in Windows to different languages. But even if you don't change the UI, you can still install a language pack, which comes with the voices. So for example, on my own computer, I've installed a French voice. Even though I keep Windows in English, I like having the option of having the French voice so that I can use it since, well, I speak French. And you do too, right?
Some.
Some, yeah. Un petit peu. Okay, and so remember that your apps can then access any voice that's already been installed, can then be accessed programmatically. If you, if a voice was not installed by the user, then your app won't have access to it. And you also don't have any options to go and download voices programmatically so that you can kind of override the user's decision. It's entirely up to the users. If your app needs to require, basically requires additional languages, it's going to be up to you to guide the user to say, hey, if you want more voices, more languages, this is how you go into your phone settings and download this. So let's look at another cool little demo that I have. We can look at the speech settings, although I pretty much already demoed this. But you can scroll down, for example, and go to the settings. So if I scroll down and I go to the settings right here, and then if I scroll to my speech settings, where are my speech settings? There we go. You click on speech, and then you'll see that we can choose male or female as the default voice. Programmatically, you have the choice of choosing male or female, though, from your app. You don't have to rely on the default. But sometimes some users prefer to use a default voice. So it might be a good idea to, you can detect all of this. And then the speech language is right here. You can see all the languages. Notice how in the emulator, there are no download options. They're already pre-installed for you. So doing demos with the emulator works really well because then you can start playing with different voices without having to take hours to install new languages on your phone. Okay, so now what we're gonna do is I'm gonna load up another demo right here. And I'm gonna switch to my, I call it a speech ambiance demo. The ambiance part is going to come a little later. So for this one, actually, it's a demo that works both on Windows and on Windows Phone. It's basically a universal app. It does share most of its UI right here. And so if you want to look at this right here, you can see I have a Windows Phone project, I have a Windows project, and I have a shared project. So let me just run it for you so you can see what it looks like. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run the Windows Phone version first, because the cool thing is because we have all those extra voices on this machine on Windows right here, I only have English voices. But inside of the Windows Phone, we have access to more voices. So what is this demo? So this is the fun part. When I said that speech can be for things that are a little more, I would say, like beyond lifestyle and productivity, it can also be something for fun. I'm sending a challenge to all of you guys out there. So all you developers, build some games you can play completely hands-free. I will play them. I drive around a lot when I go to events, and I would love nothing more than to be able to play games. As I said, I'm a gamer, but I don't have time to play games at home. When I'm working, of course. So when I'm driving around is usually when I have some downtime. Sometimes I listen to music. Sometimes I listen to podcasts. I would love to play some games. And I had this idea of basically creating these completely hands-free, eyes-free as well, important, eyes-free, so you don't have to look at a device, where you can just play with speech. So this is kind of a little setup here where the phone is going to read a sentence, kind of like you're playing this role-playing game, you're crawling through a dungeon, and you kind of, the phone is like your dungeon master, basically walking you through everything that's going on. In this case, it's just a fixed sentence, but you can easily see how these technologies can be pieced together to create a game. So what we're doing here is we have a piece of text already pre-programmed. This is a slider that I can use for a speed, but I'm not going to cover those right now. I'm going to get to SSML afterwards. The first thing we can do is we can use different voices. So you notice here how in my combo box, I can actually choose any of the voices. Of course, in this case, I'm only showing the name of the voice, so you kind of have to know which voice is which. Like, for example, Zira and Mark are the American voices. George and Susan are the voices for Great Britain. Hira and Ravi are English for India, and I know Stefan is German. So, of course, if you pass some English text to a non-English voice, well, you're basically going to get like the equivalent of someone who's speaking English with a really thick accent, you know, kind of like me right now. So for example, if I pick the default, which is Zira, and then if I hit play on this.
You are standing at the entrance of a dungeon. The air is cold and damp.
Okay, cool.
You can hear some water dripping, echoing in the background.
Okay, so now I have a voice, but then what I could do is I can go switch to a different voice. I can say, I want to hear this with Mark, who's the American male voice.
You are standing at the entrance of a dungeon. The air is cold and damp. You can hear some water dripping, echoing in the background.
So that's Mark's voice. Now, you can switch to different regions as well for those languages that support it. Like Spanish has Spain and Mexico. English has Great Britain, US, and India. So for example, if I switch to Susan, Susan's British.
You are standing at the entrance of a dungeon.
It just works
well. The
air
is cold and damp.
Susan sounds
You can hear some water dripping, echoing in the background.
So in terms of how I do this here, let me just show you in the code behind this. And this is the same code for both. So let me open this right here. So I basically have two methods that I'm using for reading. And you'll notice here that there's, I call it read boring text and read SSML text. We're going to get to SSML right after this. So in this case right now, I was actually calling read SSML using default settings, but I could have easily just used read boring text like this. And it's very similar code to what you've seen. It's very similar code to what you've seen before right here. We're calling and we're looking for the voice, but what I could do as well is I could comment this voice right here, where instead of using this, I could say, you know what? Simply get the list from the voice from my list. So my current voices right here, my voice information comes from the list box that I have, my combo box. My combo box has already been populated right here. If you look at the initialization, you can see that my looking at my code right here. So my item, the item source of my list voice is basically all the voices from the synthesizer. And then I use the display name of the voice as the selected value path. And then the selected value by default is going to be the default voice. So if you want to know which voice the user has installed by default, you can simply call speech synthesizer.default voice, and that's going to return the voice information of that voice alone. So this is how right here, I would have to comment this too. This is how right here now I can say, give me the current voice by picking the selected item and then assigning that current voice as the voice of my speech synthesizer. Then the text afterwards, the code is the same. Synthesize text to stream async, set the source and play it. So that's the base on how you can get started and assign different voices. Now what we're gonna do is we're gonna dig a little more. Let me go back to my slides. We're going to dig a little more into how, I don't want the keyboard, I just want to start this, how we can then manipulate the voice a little more to change how it works using speech synthesis markup language. So the speech synthesis markup language is actually a standard from the W3C. It's been around for quite a while, and Microsoft supports it, and we support it in both the Windows and the Windows Phone 8.1 Speech SDK. You can find all the information at the W3C website right here. And the cool thing about SSML is that it allows you to tweak the way the voice is going to sound by either using the entire text you're going to pass or maybe just a portion of your text. So what can you do with SSML? So this is an example right here on screen of a piece of XML, because so SSML is XML based. And this is a piece of XML that's the text is, this is the text that will be read by the speech synthesizer. But you'll notice that we have a few attributes that are wrapping, a few elements that are wrapping this. First of all, we're choosing the voice. So we are saying that we want to use the voice called Microsoft Zira Mobile. So SSML is one way to change the voice. Instead of changing it directly on a synthesizer, you can actually change it directly in the SSML. What does that mean? That means one piece of text could technically have multiple voices. So you could alternate like a conversation, like Susan says something, and then Mark says something, and then Zira says something. Some of the things you can manipulate with SSML will include the voice itself. You can change the rate or the speed at which it's going to be read. Sometimes some users might want a voice that's a little slower, a little faster. You want to change the pitch. Don't expect huge shifts in pitch. It's basically just going to make the voice, in terms of hertz, like the audio value for the wave the wave sound is going to be either a little higher or a little lower, but you're not suddenly going to turn, like a really, really high pitched voice into like a really, really low pitched voice, you know? So it's not like I'm suddenly going to sound like Barry White, you know? And then the volume also can be changed. So you can affect the volume throughout the text. So this one here affects the entire text, but you can also change more advanced things. The cool thing with SSML also is that you can use it to change the speech pronunciation as well, or the enunciation of certain words. This is done using phonemes. Phonemes basically will allow you to tweak how it will enunciate certain words. It's possible sometimes you pass a piece of string over to the speech synthesizer, and then you realize, wow, this is not at all the way that word is said. So using phonemes, you can actually change this enunciation, and you have to know kind of like this syntax right here. You see, the PH equals, this is how you would say the word whatchamacallit. So, of course, whatchamacallit is not a word in the English language, but it's kind of a slangy expression, you know, when you talk to someone, like, I wanted that thing, whatchamacallit, you know? Well, if you want your phone to get a little more slangy, then you can use things like, this means whatchamacallit. And this is all documented in the W3C standard, and you can experiment with this. There are some articles and tables that have been published also that show some of the common pronunciations for things. So, of course, by default, the voice will recognize a lot of things for you. But if you want to change something, let's say you have a made-up word, or maybe it's for a brand where the name of that brand is not the common way that you would pronounce it, then you can use phonemes to affect it.
So you can use phonemes to put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
The emphasis, yes, exactly. Great emphasis here. Yeah, being with English is my second language, I know that I make mistakes all the time, you know, with things like this. It'd be great if I could have my own table of phonemes. Phonemes? I can't get that word right. Phonemes, basically, that my own brain could look it up, you know, to say it right. Phoneme would be at the top of that list. All right, so if I go back right here to the same demo, you'll notice that I have a read SSML text. In read SSML, the difference is that instead of simply passing a string, now I'm actually passing an entire XML document to it. So all you have to do is piece together that XML document. You can either do it using string concatenation. You can use it by using some of the XML document classes inside of .NET. And you can then create this SSML document. And then when you want to synthesize it, all you have to say is, instead of calling synthesize text to stream async, you're going to call synthesize SSML to stream async. That's it. It's as simple as that. And the rest is the same. You set the source and you play it. So in this one here, what I'm doing is I'm changing the voice name to the current voice display name selected inside of my combo box. And then I'm also using a tag called the element called prosody. And then where I can change the pitch, and I can change the rate. So the default rate would be 1. So a faster rate would be 1.1, 1.2. And a lower rate, like slower, would be 0.9, 0.8, 0.6. If it's too slow, it really becomes annoying. And then finally, there's also the pitch. The pitch, you can experiment with this. My observations is that simply using a value in hertz doesn't work all that well. You can say plus or minus a number of hertz to kind of change that default voice. But there's also a bunch of presets you can use, like there's default, and then you have medium, low, high, X low, and X high, which is exactly what I've populated in my combo box right here. Default, X low, medium, high, and X high, which are the easy ways you can affect a voice here. So if I'm gonna run this again, I was using the read boring voice. So let me just recomment that right here. So when I call my, instead of calling my read boring text, I'm gonna call read SSML text right here. So if I run this. Now, let's say that I want, this is a little more dramatic, you know, I'm crawling through a dungeon right here, so I wanna make sure that we don't read too fast. So I'm gonna go with, Mark again. I'm going to make his voice a little lower. I'll go extra low. Again, as I said, don't expect huge differences in here. And then I'm going to make him go just a little slower right here. So, like this. So he's going to talk a little slower for the whole sentence.
You are standing at the entrance of a dungeon.
So you can
The air is cold and damp.
Sure, it sounds great though.
You can hear some water dripping, echoing in the background.
So you can see there was a difference there. And if I immediately switch over, for example, to extra high and maybe higher speed.
You are standing at the entrance of a dungeon. The air is cold and damp.
Really fast.
You can hear some water dripping, echoing in the background.
So you can see how SSML can be quite powerful. It really allows you to change the pitch, the speed, the voice itself, the volume even. But the cool thing is that you can also do this for pieces of text. So you don't have to change the entire text. It could just be a portion of text, and you can alternate between settings. So you could have one SSML document that sounds like a conversation between a few people. Next, we're going to look at a few advanced text-to-speech topics in the time we have left in this module, where the first one that we're going to look at is, for example, it's not the speech synthesizer directly that's speaking, it's the media element. And the media element uses a stream that was created by the speech synthesizer. The cool thing by creating this intermediate stream is that we can then use it and we can persist it. Like, for example, here we have a piece of code, and I have a demo that's available. It's actually live from the SDK. People can download it today. It's very simple. I can actually show you the whatchamacallit as well. And this one here simply shows how we can create a storage stream, and then we can take the stream that we have created with the speech synthesizer, and then we can write the stream to a file. So we create a new file, and we say file open async in read-write mode, and then we simply get our output stream and then transfer it to that stream, and we write it using the stream writer, and then we use the data writer, and we create a new data writer and pass in our output stream right here. And then we start copying over in there, so we read a chunk of 4Ks, basically. And then while this is done, we simply write it to the buffer. So this is how we can create a stream and write it to a file. So this code is very simplistic. Also, it's the kind of code you can easily lift, put inside of your applications. What can you do with that file afterwards? Well, you took a piece of text, you convert it into a stream. Now you have this audio file, like it would be a WAV file. And then you can email it to someone. You can, if it's small enough, I guess, probably not text it, but emailing it would be a good way. Posting it into OneDrive, persisting it somewhere. So you could build a library of things that have been spoken by the synthesizer. And then you can, after that, do whatever you want with it. So that's one scenario. Then the other one is how to play speech audio in the background. Like my little dungeon crawler scenario I was talking about there. Let's say that you are crawling through a dungeon. You might want to hear the ambiance. That's why the demo is called ambiance, you know? The ambiance of the dungeon, where you can hear maybe the actual water dripping in the background. The cool thing is that because we're using a media element, there's nothing preventing us from using a second media element to play audio, because you can have two media elements playing at the same time. Of course, if you play two media elements playing voices, you're going to have overlapping voices. It's going to be annoying. But if it's a background soundtrack, a sound effect or something, that's something that plays... This is the scenario here I was talking about, the sound effects and music. I'll come back to the previous one. So by using a second media element here, for example, I'm getting my folder, I'm getting a file like mysoundeffects.wave. I open the file using getFileAsync, and then I open that file in read mode. And then once I have it, now I have a file stream with an audio file loaded. I set that as the source of my media player. And then I can also set it to looping because it's a background audio, and then I can play it. And now coming back to this scenario right here is playing speech audio in the background. Let's say that you have a long piece of text. Like I have a demo I'm going to show you. I call it custom audiobooks, where you're taking these texts from all these great classics that are part of the public domain, like Moby Dick or The Prince or The Scarlet Letter and things like that, and you want to convert them into an actual audiobook that's read by the speech synthesizer. Well, a book is long. You know, it's going to be a lot of reading. So, of course, you'll want to chop it up by paragraphs or maybe chapters or sections. But even then, the odds are at some point, maybe the user is going to want to go back and do something in Windows. They don't want to keep the application in the foreground at all times. So is it possible to play the audio in the background without... while you're looking maybe at email or you're doing other work?
And the answer is yes.
The answer is yes. So for this demo, I'm going to show how to do it on Windows Phone, on Windows Store, because there's an easy way using the media element, because the media element is actually has a feature called audio category equals background capable media. This, even though this code technically compiles on Windows Phone, it's not going to work on Windows Phone. For Windows Phone background audio, you have to use a background audio agent. And that's something that was actually covered in the Windows Phone 8.1 Jumpstart right here on MVA. So there's a full module, and the documentation is right here on screen at aka.ms WP81 back audio. There's the typo here in the slide, so let me just delete this. So this is the proper link. There you go. See, live slides. So WP81 back audio, but also you can look at MVA search for the Windows Phone 8.1 Jumpstart, and then in there's an entire module on how to create background audio. It's a little beyond the scope of the time we have left for this. So let me show you a few demos here. The background audio task, as you'll see in the demo, you have to first of all create the background task. So you have to go inside of the package.apex manifest. Under declarations, you have to add the background task as a declaration. You have to set that the task type is going to be audio and specify the entry point of your app. And the sound effects and music, we covered this. So let me show you a few demos here. I'm going to show you again the ambiance demo, the custom audiobooks, and there's also the speech synthesis. I'll wrap up a few demos, and then that's going to be the end of module two. So let's go back to demos. So first of all, in Visual Studio, if I look at my background audio, my audio playing my sound effects, you'll notice that right here at the top, I have a second media element called FX1 Player. And FX1 Player is simply initialized here as a new media element where I am using this audio file right here, which comes from freesound.org. Attribution is coming right here below, so thank you very much. And this is simply like background noise with like water dripping in the background. So to play the background audio, we simply, again, we open the file asynchronously. And then we create a file stream based on that file where you open it asynchronously in read mode. And then once we have that stream, we simply set it as our source. We set looping on the media element, which is our media player, to true. And then we can start playing it. So even if we have another media element with speech, we will be able to hear what's being said. So for example, if I come here and I run this demo, so again, I'm going to pick, maybe I'll go with Susan this time. And then I'm going to lower the speed a little bit. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to trigger the background audio. So listen to this. You'll see it's just like dripping. It's kind of subtle. So you can hear the water dripping, right? Cool. All right. And now let's cue our dungeon master.
You are standing at the entrance of a dungeon.
And there you
the
go.
The air is
so
cold and damp.
The voice is talking. It's a little
you
slower.
You can hear some water dripping, echoing in the background.
And we can actually hear the water dripping, echoing in the background. Okay. So that was one thing. One thing I also didn't show earlier, let me take a minute just to show you this. Actually, let me restart this, is what happens if you pass an English string to a different voice? Like, for example, I said how Stefan is German. Well, Stefan is basically going to speak with a thick German accent, but trying to speak English.
You are standing at the entrance of a dungeon.
There you go.
The air
so
is
I'm
cold
sure
and damp.
German folks out there that
you
speak
can
English
hear
way
some water dripping, echoing
probably
in the background.
But anyway, this is what happens if somebody would use their default voice to read in English, even though they would expect German. And it's the same thing with the other languages. Now, when I spoke about SSML earlier, let me go to the voice synthesis. This is a demo that runs on Windows 8.1. You can easily use the same techniques on Windows Phone. It's part of our Windows SDK demos. So this one shows you how to do default speak text. You see how on Windows, we only have David and Zero, which are the American voices. And for some reason on Windows 8.1, even with the language pack for US, we get Hazel. And Hazel, I think, is Susan's cousin. She's also British. So I can say, for example, David. And the voices are different. You notice here it's David, it's not Mark. So the voices are slightly different. So if I play a speak.
The quick red fox jumped over the lazy brown dog.
So David has a slightly deeper voice than Mark by default. and we have Zira, which is very similar to the Zira voice on Windows Phone.
The quick red fox jumped over the lazy brown dog.
But then we have the SSML capability right here, where we have this full sentence, like this sentence has marks. You can put marks inside of SSML. And then once you turn it into an audio stream, what you can do is you can extract those marks, and then you can go and add them back inside of the media player. And then the media player can respond to those marks. But that's beyond the scope of this chapter right now. I'll make sure to blog about it in the near future. Then we have the phoneme right here, where we have the word whatchamacallit. So let's see what it would sound like when David says it.
This sentence has marks here, and another mark here. This is an example of how to speak the word whatchamacallit. This is an example of how to use the say as tag to say a date February 11th, 2015. This fourth example is how to use the ordinal data type.
There you go. So now we have this easy capability to manipulate a voice. And the last demo that I wanted to show you here is for the background capable audio. I'm going to use this little demo here called Custom Audiobooks. So it's this one here on my, let me just make sure I open it from the right source on my desktop. Okay, so my Custom Audiobooks, there you go. So Custom Audiobooks is a little bit more of a not full-fledged, but it's a little bit more of an advanced app where I've got these audiobooks that are sitting right here inside of a JSON data source. So you can see here I have 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Moby Dick. I even have a book called The Spirit of Brevity. It's basically a fake book so that I can reach the end in one sentence. It's by Nick Landry. Then The Prince and The Scarlet Letter and The Time Machine. And this one here, when I play it on Windows, you'll notice, let me just play it and you'll notice that. So this is what the application looks like. So I can come here, I can pick a book, and I can say, for example, I want to read Moby Dick. I get the full text on screen, and then when I right-click here, I can say, okay, now start reading this to me. Is it reading?
Moby Dick.
Oh, there he goes. So it starts
reading. By Herman Melville.
The Moby cool Dick, thing also is that by using a media
whale,
element,
1851,
you can also pause. So I can say,
is
pause this, don't read, and now
by Herman
resume.
Melville considered an outstanding
so
work of Romanticism in the American Renaissance.
Before. We could stop
chapter
stream,
one.
We could not resume it once. We have to start over.
Call
so
me
audiobooks,
Ishmael.
Of course, really important.
Some years ago, never mind how long precisely,
so now,
having little or no money in my purse and nothing particular
reading.
To interest me on shore,
focus,
I thought I would sail about a little and see the watery part of the world.
Audio capability. So this is enabled by a few things. First of all, in the Windows version right here, I have my XAML page. And you'll notice that in the XAML right here, I have my media player. Let me just look for it. Actually, let me go full screen on this. Okay, button. I'm looking for my media element on this. Scroll down. Oh, sorry, I'm in the wrong page. I have to go to the item page. This is where the media element resides. So inside of this one here, let me scroll this up. Now, right here, you can see that I have a media element, and my media element is my audiobook media player. And on this one, I have the background capable media. The thing also is the media player, if you put it directly in XAML, you can actually see the controls. So for example, if I the transport controls are enabled and they're set. So right now they're set to true, but I can actually set the height. For example, I'll set the height equals 50, for example. So now you're going to see the media controls right here that are going to show up, or you should at least. So if I come to Moby Dick, you see here there's the full media element is showing up right here. So now if I start playing this, so it's
Moby Dick.
Playing. You see now,
by Herman
you can see
Melville.
The full, it's a 13-minute
Moby Dick
chapter
or
just to read
the whale,
this. And then you can scroll forward
is a novel by Herman Melville considered an outstanding work of Romanticism and the American Renaissance.
Pause this. So this is a media element you can use, and this one here actually lets you play in the background thanks to that background-capable media right here. But then you also have to implement a few things in code to do this, and I know I'm running out of time now, but if I come into code right here, I have to implement something called the System Media Transport Controls, because as the application is going in and out of focus, like in the background and in the foreground, you have to be able to track the media controls so that the user might be able to control them directly, maybe from their keyboard, if they have the capability, because it's a media player. But in terms of, so that's why we have these initialized transport controls right here. So as the media controls are raising events, you have to be able to raise the same events back on your own media controller. And then here we're tracking every time a media control is pressed. So if we press pause on the controls or play, then we have to affect our own media player. And the same thing goes for the media element. Every time the status changes, if it's closed, opening, buffering, or paused, then we have to change the status back to the system media controls. So you have the application level media controls, and you have the system level media controls. These events are simply there to make sure that they're going to stay in sync, so one doesn't think it's playing when the other one thinks it's paused. And then the play button, as you can see, is very simple. We, if we're paused, we simply play. And if we were not paused, so it's the first time we're running it, we're simply passing in the text. We're saying read text. In this case, the read text is simply using the default settings. We're not changing the voice or anything like it. So if I go to definition, you can see here we're simply using the first voice, female, United States. We're creating our stream, and then we're simply playing it with the media player. And the fact that we have background audio is right here in the package.apex manifest, where under, so first of all, speech capability, I have my microphone enabled because that's for the speech SDK. And then under declarations, right here, I have my background task that's been enabled. So you select here, you pick background task, add, it shows up here, then you set audio and the entry point, which is basically the name of your app by default. So that's a lot of information, as you can see, just a few lines of code to make the computer talk, but with more capabilities like SSML, background audio, you can actually create some really cool scenarios. So let's go back to our slides and wrap this module up. So that was our demo right here. And now, very quickly, across platforms, and I don't spend too much time on this, but it's just to show how Windows Phone and Windows Store are stacking up when we look at Android and iOS. So iOS has a lot of languages, as we can see. They actually support a lot more languages than the other platforms. But Windows Phone is definitely the platform that, first of all, it's the only platform that has full male and female voices. All the others, including Windows Store, only have partial, where most of the voices are female. But one, it is a few male voices in there. Everybody can do speech synthesis offline, change the voice rate, pitch, and volume, but only Windows, Windows Phone, and Android support SSML. iOS does not. Everybody can kind of stop, pause, resume, even though on Android it's a little trickier to do this. You can also save the speech and audio file on all platforms except iOS. To play audio in the background, it's really native on Windows, Windows Phone, and iOS. For Android, you would actually have to use a media player, which is not the standard way of doing speech on there. You would have to convert into a file and then use that file to play it in their media player, which is more, it's a trickier way of doing it. But Android does have something cool, which is, since Android is a fully modular operating system, they do support the ability to use custom text-to-speech engines. So text-to-speech is one of those things that pretty much all the platforms do well. You're not going to see many more comparisons like this. For example, in Module 3, there's no comparison because only Windows Phone can do all these things. So in this module, we looked at the speech synthesis integration. And we looked at how we can change the voice settings, how we can use speech synthesis markup language to change the pitch, the rate of your voice, and the voice itself. And then we also looked at a few advanced topics like saving audio files to a stream, saving this, playing speech audio in the background, even when the app is not in the foreground. And then finally, how we can even add some sound effects or some music to our speech audio streams. And finally, we did a quick comparison of the platform. So that's basically it for this module. So we'll take a 10-minute break, And then we will come back right after this, where Jeremy is going to walk us through how to use voice commands and do what we call the Cortana integration, so that your app can be augmented by basically by the power of Cortana.
See you after the break.
Thank you.